So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. So we're called, we're beloved, and we're kept. Praise the Lord. We're not going anywhere. We're here with Jesus. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Amen. How many of you will take that? Mercy, peace, and love. I'll take it. Sometimes I need more mercy. Sometimes I need more peace. Sometimes I need more love. And sometimes I need them all at the same time. Like, Lord, I need more multiplied. Can you multiply quick, Lord? Okay. All right. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend. Everybody say contend. So we are called to contend or to fight. Contend, it means to go for it, to struggle. The word for contend was like wrestling, because you were, and funny, we get our word agony from it, because it takes some pain. You know what I'm saying? If you're in a wrestling match, you're going to experience some pain. All right? So you're agonizing over this, and you're contending for this. And so we got to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered for the saints. Now, we in America have had a common salvation in this country where we kind of understood what it meant to be a Christian. For the most part, okay? We had a common sense. How many of you know that common sense is getting less and less common? It's just getting less and less common. And so Jude is addressing the situation. When you read this, I want you to see this, because I believe the Lord is trying to tell us that what we're going through in America is not the first time it's ever happened. This is going on right then with the apostles, the brothers of Jesus, dealing with common sense that's no longer common. You're going to see this, and you're going to see, wow, this is just like the U.S. and other parts of the world. All right, so what we have is not common. It says, for certain people, certain ones have crept in unnoticed. They slipped in. Who long ago were designated for this condemnation. In other words, God wasn't surprised by these people slipping in. Ungodly people who pervert. Everybody say pervert. Because we're talking about perversion here. The grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So what they're dealing with is perverted people. They're dealing with perversion. And they're dealing with people who slipped in and started promoting perversion. Unnoticed, promoting it, and they pervert the grace of God. Now, the grace of God means I love you even though. You know what I'm saying? Grace means you allow for differences. You allow for people not being perfect, and you try to give them grace because they may not be doing the right thing, but they pervert that grace into saying, I can do whatever I want all the time, anytime, as much as I want, and tough on you if you try to challenge me. Are we in this situation or not? Yes. This is what they're dealing with right here. I feel the presence of the Lord. My hair is starting to go up. As Barry Hussey used to say, hair don't lie. Okay? Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. So we're dealing with people that are being driven by sensuality, which means they're just going by just letting their feelings and their desires just go crazy. Just go crazy. Without any restraint on what they desire. So somebody walks in to a store in San Francisco and says, I'm just going to fill my bag up and walk out the door. It happens. It's happening. I just feel like grabbing stuff from, you know, and walking out the door not paying. That's the kind of stuff that's going on. And we haven't seen that in, you know, what our common faith is no longer common. They don't get it. Okay? Now, I want to remind you, verse 5, though you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, Jesus and Joshua, of course, are the same name. So he could be talking about Joshua, but of course we know who saved people out of Egypt. It was Jesus. Jesus himself, the Lord. And afterward, here's the thing. He saved a bunch of people, but then afterward destroyed a bunch. So you're going to see people that are going to step out there that have been saved out of Egypt, but are going to be destroyed in the wilderness. In America. You're going to see that. You're seeing it already. You're seeing people who started out as Christians, and now they're advocating for the devil. They're just plain and simple. They're just doing what the devil wants. Why? Because they perverted grace to mean license to do what anything and just go by your feelings and go by your dreams, go by your thoughts, and just be whatever you want to be. Even down to the aspect of who you are as a human. They're going against any kind of common sense. And the angels, verse 6, who did not stay within their own position of authority, even angels had rebelled. So if angels rebelled and were left in their, they left their proper dwelling, they left their common sense, he is kept in eternal chains until the gloomy darkness, until the judgment of that great city day, just as, another example, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, right? Serve as an example by undergoing punishment by eternal fire. Eternal fire. Eternal fire. We're talking here about eternal fire, not like regular fire. But it just so happens, this, the Lord's been speaking to me for a long time that this was going to be a year marked by fire. And already people have been talking about unnatural fires going on. And that's just a little rabbit trail I don't want to go down right now. But yet, look at this. In like manner, now with all these examples of history that say that if you go down this path, you will be burned. Even though we have examples, they're not paying attention. They're not. These are people that started out as believers. These are people that started out as, we agree on some things. But now they're not. So what are they doing? They're relying on their dreams. In other words, I'll just, whatever I think up, whatever my mind dreams, I'm just going to listen to that and not listen to God. All right? I'm just not going to listen to God. I'm just going to listen to whatever I dream. It's all about me and not about anybody else. Right? They defile the flesh. They do things. They skunk up the flesh. By the way, this, for some reason, a lot of skunks are getting run over. This must be skunk time because I'm seeing a lot of skunks dead in the road and it stinks and it lasts a long time. I don't know what it is, but it's what it is. It is what it is. They reject authority and they blaspheme glory. In other words, they don't just sin and keep it quiet. They don't just have three or four mistresses in the background, you know what I'm saying? Or do all kinds of sexual stuff, but that act kind of normal on the outside? No. No, they're like saying, they're just telling people to go take a hike. I'm going to do what I want and flaunt it in front of you. And not only that, blaspheme and speak evil of people that are trying to do the right thing. This is what you're seeing. Aggressive. Aggressive, blasphemous. Blaspheme means to speak evil of people. And we do not blaspheme as Christians. We don't blaspheme evil. We don't handle it that way. That is ungodly. Never do we blaspheme evil. We're going to see this later. We don't speak evil of people. Jesus didn't do it. All right? But he told the truth. He said what the word said. Okay, we're going to get on with that. And when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, he just said this, "No, devil." He didn't blaspheme the devil. He just said, "No, the Lord rebuke you or correct you, or this is not right." And isn't that what Jesus did to the devil? When Jesus was in the wilderness, did he just say, "Devil, you're blah, 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 blah," and say all kinds of horrible blah, 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 and focus on the horror of the devil? No. What did he say? The scripture says, it is written. Christians, don't blaspheme when you get blasphemed. Don't do it. Don't speak evil. Speak the truth in love. Speak the word. Jesus quoted everyone three scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy. Word for word. Every one of them. He didn't make up stuff. Amen? Come on now. I'm giving you a word because I feel like the devil is, things are happening. This has happened before. And we need to handle this like Jude's telling us to do it. And that way we'll have success. How many of you want to have success and see the enemy overthrown in this nation and in this town and in your life? I want to see it. So let's do it God's way. All right? Don't get caught in religion. Don't get caught in customs. Don't get caught in the culture. Do it by the word. Do it by the word. Let the word confront you. And if it's got to slap you, get slapped. Say amen. All right? I'll get corrected. I may not be. I may be encouraged. Sometimes I get encouraged when I get when someone says, "Hey, you ain't doing this right. Now do it right." All right, so we're dealing with people who are being like, they're like animals. It says these people blaspheme all they do not understand. And they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. In other words, all when they mean instinctively, it just means by your passions, by the flesh. The word is physically. They're just physically responding in your body, your physical response, right? And if someone hits you, what is your physical response? To smack them back. That's a physical response. That's what they're doing. They're just down to that now. I mean, it's just down. I mean, you know, I don't like you. I'm going to punch you. I don't care. That's just what it is. There's no restraint. It's just a physical reaction. And there's times the Holy Ghost would say to me, "Don't react in the flesh. Hear me out first. Listen to me and do what I say." You know, y'all still have flesh here as long as I can see, right? We all sitting here in our bodies, right? Nobody's here like, we all got to deal with it. And we got to hear what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. Woe to them. They walked, in verse 11, they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. We have all these examples of what the devil did and what that happened. And these are hidden reefs at your love feasts. That kind of rhymes. Hidden reefs at your love feasts. Hidden reefs. Don't sail into the hidden reef at the love feast. Right? Yeah. What's a reef, guys? A reef is a hard object under wet that you can't see, that if you're not careful, you're going to run right into it. And get entangled and mess your boat up. The hidden reef in the love seat. feast. Yeah. Jeremy, don't sit on the drums. I know it'd be fun right now. Well, we're not going there, okay? They feast with you without fear. They have no fear of God. They have no fear of getting spanked. They got no fear of getting hurt. They don't care. They don't care. Some of them are too drugged up to know, to feel. They're out of it. These people going to concerts. They're going places. They're out there. They're being desensitized. The front part of their brain that's supposed to tell them no is so messed up with drugs and with modern culture and stuff like that, they can't say no. They won't. They just keep rolling. They need Jesus. They are shepherds with feeding themselves. He's just giving all these examples of religious people now. These are religious people. They are religious people that knew the truth, that have turned away from it and are promoting sexuality that is against God's word. They're doing it. Now, in this town, in this state, and around the world, and in our nation, leaders, people with REV in front of their names, promoting it in politics. And they're without fear. He calls them, Jude calls them, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves, casting up foam, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. It's about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds. Notice all. God will not leave anyone out. He's going to take care of all this stuff. Sorry, it's all going to be taken care of. Our Lord has got this. Our Lord has got this. And all the harsh things that ungodly, look at this. All the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against Jesus. Do you realize that what's going on now, what we're seeing happen in the U.S. that's been filtered up into the political level and all these levels are completely focused on one thing, getting rid of Jesus from our culture. They'll take any religion. They will take any religion but Jesus. It all is about Jesus. You had the vision. It's all about Jesus. And it has all nothing to do with anything else. It is not so much the right of someone to do something. It's the right of them to reject Jesus and push that upon everybody else. To stop him from anything in society. No more Jesus. Arresting people for preaching in a public place. All right. Grumblers, malcontents, following their own desires, sinful desires, they are loud mouth boasters. Loud mouth now means how many hits you get on social media. That's loud mouth. It's true. Your megaphone is not in volume with decibels. The megaphone today is how many people are you impacting with your posts? That's called loudmouth boasters. And they're there. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. It's all about money. You must remember, beloved, that the predictions of the apostles. So this has been in the Word. It's been prophesied. And also, it's in the New Testament about our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, the last time there'll be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It's those who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Everybody say devoid of the Spirit. This is the key factor, guys. This is the key factor of discerning between a religious leader and someone who's really following Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. They're devoid of the Spirit. They may have all the trappings. They may say this or that. They may quote the Lord's Prayer. They may know Bible verses. But if they are devoid of the Spirit, they are not of God. Jesus is the baptizer in the Spirit. No Jesus. How do you know there's no Jesus? There's no Holy Spirit. He's not there. Some other kind of spirit. Or just a dry piece of whatever. Dry. And they may be spouting Bible verses, but no Holy Spirit. One thing I learned when I first got saved is that people can quote the word and say it wrong. And you got to have the Holy Spirit to understand the word. Somebody say amen to that. You got to have the Holy Spirit to get it. Because I didn't get it. I was hearing the word in churches. And there's a truth. There's a basic truth in the plain language of the meaning. But people just say it and there's no Holy Spirit. They don't get it. Okay, hope I said that right. But you, beloved, here we go. Here's where I want to start. This is where I feel like we're going to come into the part where God wants us to, what do we do with all this? What do we do? Can everybody pretty much say that this description in Jude is us right now? Can we agree on that? Are we there? Now, are you ready to listen to what God has to tell you how you deal with it? How do you deal with all this mess? How do you deal with this blaspheming or whatever you want to say, just tearing people down with words, this brazen anti-Christ spirit? How do you deal with it? Number one, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing I don't agree with the ESV says and what that does is it kind of makes you think they're two different things. It is not. You are building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Okay? So number one, if you're going to have victory over what is going on around you, where you're dealing with Christians who are no longer acting like Christians, number one, they are devoid of the Spirit. You better be sure you are praying in the Spirit and full of it, the Spirit. You got to be full of the Spirit now more than ever. You cannot, because you're dealing with people that have drained the Holy Spirit out of their lives. And just gone into the dead letter. They're just dead letter. They're just no understanding. There's no Holy Spirit anymore. They're going to meet in churches. But there's no Spirit there. All right, so what are we going to do? Number one, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Your faith gets stronger. You get built up as you pray in the Spirit. And you keep yourselves in the love of God. You wait for God's mercy that leads to eternal life. And then you have mercy. Look here. You have mercy on those who doubt. So here's what I'm saying. Mercy is the fruit of praying in the Holy Ghost. Mercy. You have mercy towards the people that are not doing the right thing. You have mercy on them. You pray mercy over them because you need mercy. Why? You're praying for people that are in error. You need mercy when you're doing stuff wrong, right? Am I right? So if you're praying for a situation and you don't have mercy, you are not praying in the Spirit. You're not praying. You're not praying in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit for mercy. And you save others by snatching that some, you're just going to have to yank them out of the fire. And some, you got to show mercy with fear because God may tell you to go somewhere that's really bad. You may have to go somewhere, and you're going to have to be very careful not to let that mess get all over you. It says that you have to hate even the garment stained by the flesh. In other words, you're going to be dealing with people who don't that are really lost, and you're going to have to. God's going to say, "I want you to encounter them." It's like I went down to New Orleans with. I'm thinking of landing, going down to New Orleans, and going by the strip clubs. Well, you know what I'm saying? You got to minister in the strip club? No, not quite. Not like that. You're going to hate that garment stained by the flesh, but you're going to find a way to reach those prostitutes for Jesus. You hear the difference? You got to play smart. Don't get messed up by that. So I'm going to give you three ways to pray in the Spirit today. Three ways, and I'm going to go very quick, okay? Because I know y'all know this. All right. Here's the first way to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The first way of praying in the Spirit. To me, I'm going to start from this. Okay. Romans 8, verse 26. So the first way of praying in the Spirit is praying in your weakness. Everybody say weakness. What does that tell you about you? Well, here's what it says. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, anybody that this doesn't apply to, you can leave right now. Oh, brother, I always pray right. No, you don't. There are going to be some weaknesses, okay, in the way you pray. So here's what God provides. How many of you know that God provides His Spirit in our weakness, not just when we're doing good? It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Next verse. And He who searches hearts, everybody put your heart right here. Hand over your heart. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Where is the mind of the Spirit?
Not here.
It's here. It's in your heart. That's where the Spirit is, right? That's where faith comes. It all starts with the Spirit in your heart. And then as your spirit prays, the mind of the Spirit is here. And thank you, Jesus, for the 18-inch journey to here. But it's got to go from here. And then it says, He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, so the Spirit has the mind of God and the will of God. And I've been in plenty of prayer meetings where people thought they were praying the will of God and it wasn't the will of God. Why? They were just praying whatever they wanted to pray. They weren't praying in the Spirit. They were just praying stuff. I'm like, oh, ew, ah. You know, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about here, okay? But I want you to hear me because you're going to be praying with people and they're going to be making prayers. And there are people in churches making prayers today that are not birthed of the Spirit and they're not the will of God and they're not the mind of God. They're just here. So the first thing we have to say is, Lord, I'm weak. And you got to admit this, guys. I've been doing this now for a long time. 44 years of marriage, Marianne, 44. 44 caliber marriage. That'll take down a lot, right? Okay, so we've been doing this a long time, but the Apostle Paul said we don't always know how we pray as we ought. You know what that means? You're not praying right. Paul says, how do I pray in this situation? What do I say? What do I do? What do I pray here? You may be dealing with somebody that is so messed up and so tricky. Like, what do I say? How do I pray? And you know what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? Shut up and groan. Feel what's going on in your heart. Because before you release words, there are situations where you've got to get in tune with what's going on with the Spirit in your heart before you open up your mouth. The groaning means you're getting a sense. So there are times when you're in a situation and something inside of you is going, and nothing's happening, but you know something's happening. And so there was a groaning inside of me. Why? My mind couldn't handle it. But let me tell you something. God knows the mind of the Spirit inside of me. He knows exactly what's going on. And He knows exactly what His will is. I knew that I was praying the will of God. I knew I was praying the mind of the Spirit. But I didn't. This brain didn't know it. But my brain knew it because the Word of God said so. And there are times when you're going to have to listen and feel what's going inside of you, because the Holy Spirit was telling me this, and all I knew is, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And look what He said. He said, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Why can we groan? We can groan because we know, even though we can't figure this out, even though we can't think this through, it looks bad, 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 bad. We know that with God, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So we, no matter how terrible the situation looks, no matter how strange it is, how our mind can't process it, we have the Holy Spirit in our heart to remind us that the will of God and the mind of God are in us. They're in us. Number two, praying with your understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 through 5. Now we're going to talk about the second level of prayer. One level of prayer is just the sensing and the groaning and the working of the Spirit in you. The second level of prayer, the second kind of praying in the Spirit I want to talk about is praying with your understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Glory to God. Pursue love. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So prophetic prayer means that you're praying the word of the Lord. As God gives you the words, you pray them. Amen. Next, we're going to talk about prayer. The one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So as you release praying in tongues, who are you talking to? God. You may say it out loud and other people hear you, but you're not talking to them. It's quite normal today because people use cell phones everywhere. And so you'll see them walking down the street just talking away. Just talking away. Nobody's around, but they're not talking to God. Most of them, I would think. But this is what we've got. We have got the Holy Spirit causes us to talk to God. Okay? It says He utters mysteries in the Spirit. That means you don't get it. Let's go on. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. There's the word building. We're building something. Next verse. One who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Again, we're in the process of building. Who do you build up when you pray in tongues? Yourself. Do we do that? Yes, we all build up ourselves. We have to be our own contractors. Okay? We work on our own house. We also work on the house of God. How many of you worked on your own house to fix it up? Yes. How many of you worked on this church to fix it up? Yes. Many of you. Yes. You're going to do it all, man. You're prophesying over this church when you do it, okay? Let's go on next. I want you all to speak in tongues. Anybody left out of speaking in tongues? No. Paul said all speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, Paul is telling you he wants you to. Okay? It's for you. He wants all for you to do that. And then he said even more to prophesy. That means you do both. It's a both and, not either or. Everybody say both and. Not either or, guys. It's a both and. Both and. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church. Hey, work on the church, not just on your own house. I want your house to be built. But I want the church to be built too. Because it's something powerful when we all get together. All right, let's go now to chapter, verse 14 of 14. 14, 14, one of my favorite verses. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Why? I'm speaking mysteries. I don't understand when I pray in tongues. Does it mean that you stop praying in tongues? No. Pray even though you don't know what you're saying. Why? The word of God says that you're being strengthened in faith just by saying something that you don't understand. Wow. Here we go. What am I to do? I pray with my spirit, but also I will pray with my mind. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind. And then the last one, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of the outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? What are the three things? Pray in the spirit, praise in the spirit, give thanks in the spirit. So prayers first. Praise is next. Thanksgiving is last. This is a little mini teaching right here. But if you want something from God, what do? You pray. And then what happens? You praise. You thank God for who He is. But then afterwards, you thank God for getting what you prayed for. Those three things. You pray. Then you praise. God, I'm asking you, Lord, for a new car. In Jesus' name, I'm asking for a new car. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. You're a good God. And you start praising Him for what God has given, for who He is. And then He does for what He is. You start thanking Him. Now I thank you, Lord, for the car. It's on its way. All right, let's go on. 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built. Like I said, don't just work on your own house. And you want to put the outsiders and make them insiders. We want this to be a place where an outsider will come in and they'll be an insider because they get what's going on. They get it. Because you're prophesying. They'll come in and they'll feel the presence of God. We had people come in and didn't want to come back because the presence of God was so strong they couldn't handle it. I wish they had gotten prophesied to, because if they had, they would have had, that would have pulled them all the way in, because they were so intimidated by their emotional reaction to the presence of God. I hadn't been that many people, but someone actually told me that. They were just so, they were like, whoa, what's going on? I just feel this presence. I don't get it. They didn't have the language for it. They didn't have the way to express it. So they thought they were just, I can't handle this. When that was the Holy Spirit drawing them. So if they had a word, then they could have come in. They would have understood what God was doing. All right, so we learn that when we pray in the Spirit, we first pray with groaning, not getting it here at all, and not worrying about it. Why? Because God works all things together for good. Number two, then we pray without understanding at first so that we can get the mind of the Lord and pray the mind of the Lord and bless someone else. Notice that the purpose of praying in tongues is to strengthen yourself and also strengthen someone else. It's not all about you. It's not just your house. It's the house of God. Here we go. Now, what did Paul say? How much do you pray in the Spirit? All the time. All the time. And you could pray in the Spirit quietly during the day, praying in tongues. Quietly. You can do it. You can pray at home, out loud, wherever you can go, out loud. Do it out loud. Do it quiet. But you can pray in the Spirit at all times. You can do it with all prayer and supplication. Notice it's What you're doing is you're asking God. So Paul is letting you know that when you come before his throne, what you're doing is you're entreating him and getting in a relationship with him. It's all about you and Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus, they need you. Jesus, they want to be. You know what I'm saying? So you're in this place where you're with the Lord and you're interacting with God. Hear what I'm saying? This is what praying in the Spirit is. Now, are you prophesying sometimes? Yes, sometimes you can prophesy. And when you're prophesying, you're speaking to somebody else. But I'm saying most of the time when you, and this, according to this scripture right here, it says that we are having supplication to the Lord. Okay, we're not dealing with anybody else other than Jesus. Then it says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for who? All the saints. Who's the topic? What's the topic of our prayer? The topic and focus of our prayer is the church. To build them up. To build them up. What is the answer for the world today? Jesus is the answer. Why? Because the church is his body. So we pray for the body. We pray for the body of Christ. We need to pray for each other. Paul said, he said, pray for all the saints and pray for me. Why? What are we praying for? We're praying that we will get the word of the Lord and prophesy the word of the Lord. So that not only are we praying as we ought to pray, we pray as we ought to pray in order to preach as we ought to preach. Look, next verse. There it is. We pray as we ought to because the ultimate purpose of us is to speak the word as we ought to speak it with our understanding. The point of prayer is to renew your mind so that you're speaking the word of the Lord for that situation. You're prophesying and saying it exactly as a Holy Spirit wants you to say it. Because there have been too many times when I have not prayed and therefore I open my mouth and I may say something from the Bible or I may something that I think that's the right thing, but it's not. I want to speak as I ought to speak. I want to speak with boldness. I want to speak with anointing. I don't want to speak dry words. I want to speak the power of God. I want people to experience the power of God when I speak. I want them to encounter Jesus. I want to speak like I ought to, and I'll speak like I ought to if I pray like I ought to. And y'all pray like y'all too. And so when Janine's finishing up her work, she's going to speak as she ought to. Because we're praying for her. And we're praying for Ted. And we're praying for Lydia. You know what I'm saying? We're praying for different people so that in every situation that they're in on your job, Jeremy, you know what I'm saying? Wherever you are, that you're encountering people so that when you speak the word of the Lord, you're doing it as you ought to do it. And it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. Same word, Paul said. Same word. What does that mean? Confidence. That means I know I heard from God. Come on. Not that I just think it or not just somebody else told me this is what you're supposed to say. I heard from God. And when you have that confidence that you heard from God, you prayed it. You know this is the Lord. You say it with a certain attitude. And God, the people are like, boom. That's what we need. I'm just asking God. I'm, you know, like Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing that he who began a good work will perform it. That's confidence. That's speaking like you ought to. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just receive this word today as you spoke it from the Holy Spirit, Lord, not just me. It's not about that. But, Father, we just submit ourselves, Lord, to pray with the Spirit, Lord. We just say, Lord God, if we're going to go anywhere in God with this church and winning people to Jesus, we got to pray with the Spirit so that we can, as we ought to, so that we can win souls as we ought to by preaching like we should. Father, we need you. And Father, we say if anyone here wants to just receive the Holy Spirit and get their gifts loosened up, just get it released, Lord God. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. But Lord, we pray, get with somebody, pray in the Spirit, let them pray over you. Just get together and pray. Speak in the Spirit. Speak in the Spirit, not with your understanding. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say this before we go. If there's anybody here or anybody that's watching, one of the hardest things to do sometimes is to let go with your mind and let your spirit speak from the heart. Because you think, like when I was first wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was afraid to get prayer. You may not think that of me now, but I was afraid back then. I don't want to get prayed for because I'm afraid, like, what if I don't speak in tongues? I would be so embarrassed. You know, all these people sitting around me, I'm just sitting there like this. I was afraid. God says, do it. God just said, do it. He put the fear of the Lord in me. You may not get it. I may not give you another chance like this. It's like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But I had to humble myself, and I had to take a risk. I had to sit there, and I had to let them pray for me, and I didn't get it right away.
Most of us don't.
How many of you have gotten everything in your life the first time you asked? No. So why is the Holy Spirit any different? You know what I'm saying? So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to just break through anything that's holding people back from praying in tongues. I'm asking you, Lord, to give us sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in our heart so that we pay attention to the groaning of God. That if the Lord's saying no, if the Lord's saying yes, if the Lord's saying pray for this person, do it. Do it. Help us, Lord, pay attention to that. And Lord, teach us how to pray in order to prophesy. Help us, Lord. I'm going to pray today. Why? Because I want to prophesy when I go to work. Why am I praying in the Spirit today? I want to prophesy when I run out to Walmart. I want to prophesy. I don't just want to speak. I want to prophesy. Lord, we just ask you for that on Sunday morning. We ask you for that in service that we have and as we meet people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.